see my eye roll or something. I don't know.
I didn't
well, she didn't either. I thought maybe.
It's okay. She might need to do.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It's January 28th, 2020 at 2 p.m. And the county supervisors are meeting for a budget work session. And we can say our names for the record. I'm Linda Merkin, Chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Operations and County Services.
Laura Olson, Board of Supervisors.
Lisa Heddens, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Wignall, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
The auditor is sick today, otherwise she would be here too. So she sends her apologies.
Glad she's home and not here infecting the rest of us.
Right.
And also taking care of herself.
Right. That's what I told her. Just take care of yourself.
Okay. So, Lisa, do you want to, Lisa Markley, would you like to run us through what you have here?
I would. I'd like to make a couple of comments about putting this budget together overall as far as differences in from previous years and differences from the way differences from previous years. So what I did was I put some different scenarios together, mainly looking at for you to look at the rates, levy rates, and the ending fund balances, because those are focuses that putting a budget together is something we need to do, is we need to focus on where we're going to end our year. The actual, I think our policy states that we will not substantially use fund balances. So in the putting the budget together for the general fund, general supplemental fund, we're shooting for about a 25%. Ending fund balance. Historically, that's what we're shooting for. For the rural, we can usually get by with an 18 or so ending fund balance because of the fact that we do have monthly income coming into the rural fund. We're not waiting for taxes, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. The other funds are pretty much. The mental health fund is pretty much directed by the region. The debt service fund is dependent on our debt and things like that. So I just wanted to preface with that. I do have a history of the last 5-6 years, 6 years of what the rates have been to engage your care, or want to talk about that, okay? These packets I gave you are in no specific order. I put numbers at the top of them so that we would know which one we were talking about. Okay? So you're going to find the same basic information at the top of all of them, which is what is included in the funding. Okay? What it removes, what positions. An idea I have for positions on the new deputy and how that could work, and what salaries are budgeted at. In three of these, salaries are budgeted at 100% by budgeting at 95%. I can show you what those, or I can tell you what those differences would be as far as expenditures, okay, and ending fund balances. The 95% budgeted has worked well for us because of the fact that not everything's filled all year. That seems to work fairly decent.
Do you remember ending last year what we actually would have spent?
It was right in the 94 to 95% range.
So that hits just pretty well. We can.
Yeah, and
pretty
that, if you look back historically in your budget history books, you'll see that is pretty standard at 95%.
Thank you.
Obviously, in all of these cases, we still don't know what the comp board's going to do. That is a fairly minimal amount of impact overall when we talk about the the difference between a 2% or a 3% or a 4% for those individuals in those positions, because it's what, you know, the three of you, the other four elected officials and their deputies. So that's who's impacted by that. So by going through the budget process and you know, doing some massaging of re-estimations and in revenues and expenses, our re-estimated 20 is that.
Could I stop you for a minute? Because I'd like to back up a minute. I'm just kind of, you've done a lot of work, I appreciate it, but we haven't made a decision on the auditor's position, and so to see it included in all of these is of concern to me. That was something we had followed up on, huh?
That was directed at the last.
You who directed that?
You guys.
You guys.
I did not, because I said I wasn't sure I was going to vote for it. I don't.
They included it in the
so work. So we could see what it would look like, what the numbers would be. That's what we're
going to
do.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I get that because I'm not voting for it. So
no, we didn't make a determination on whether we were taking any of the positions. We hadn't made any determination on the positions, but we wanted to see what it looked like.
Okay, now we're
going to put it in.
And so then also that, well, I had made some assumptions too, so I didn't know we were going to get this detailed on it because I've got some things I think I'd like to see move around also. But I'm going to let you go forward then because I did miss that you were directed to do it with the auditor because I thought.
I was told to put all three positions in to look at the numbers. Is what I was told to do at the end of the last session to come. That's why I wanted to have an additional meeting before February 5th, because February 5th, I think, is the one that we actually say, okay, what are we including in? That's my take on it.
So we had not made any final decision on any of the positions. So.
Okay. So the re-estimation for the general fund comes in at 27.3, supplemental 29.8. MHDS, we've talked about this so many times. It really is not a, it's what it is. It's not something that we're going to base a lot of thoughts on as far as future because we know how that works. The rural fund, after re-estimations, comes in at about 17.2 and secondary roads at 44.8 of the current FY20 budget, okay? So that's something that's not going to change, obviously, on any of these pages. Honestly, it's a matter of what your thoughts are as going forward, what you want the rate to be and what you want the ending fund balance to be. A couple things that are fairly sure, the general fund dollars at $3.50, the supplemental is something that you can determine whether you want to adjust that at all in order to have more of a fund balance. The MHDS fund, I want to take a minute to talk about this. The number that was brought forward from the finance or from the region is 2.550 for Story County, 2,557,030. As you can see from what's over on the current year, it's about a $300,000-$400,000 increase for Story County, which because we don't tax per capita, we tax based on the levy rate. That turns into 0.50193 for the levy rate on that one. The debt service, we're using the balance that we levied in the current year that we haven't accessed because we aren't bonding for all of that in FY20. So my assumption on this one is that we're going to bond perhaps $3 million. Okay, for the projects that he thought he could get done in the next year, which was what he told us at his budget work session. So that levy actually goes from 16 cents to 2.5 cents by doing that. And then the rural fund, again, that's something that you'll want to discuss and see what you want to do with that. The number one page that I have gives you a levy of $8.25. It gives you an ending fund balance of general fund of 26, supplemental of 25. So the mental health fund has the other part of what the region has asked is that we locally keep 50% of our budget instead of 200% of our budget, which is a $600,000 swing for us. Okay, so that makes the overall amount coming out of the mental health fund a much greater amount, say by $600,000. Okay, that gives us a 7% ending fund balance, but that is actually 50% of the local budget if you just look at the local budget. Okay. Rural is at 21 in this scenario, and secondary roads at 49 in this scenario. I did just list for you so that you had it in front of you what is still assigned in the general fund over and above that 26%, okay, and what is committed in the general fund over and above that 25% after the 21, I mean, at the end of 21. Okay. So one of the things I did put in here was keeping 22 positions funded out of the rural fund. It adds that deputy that was discussed from the rural fund. It moves a detective to the general fund. So right now, the sheriff's office has 5 detectives. 4 of them are paid for from the rural fund, excuse me, okay, and 18 patrol deputies. When the decision of a previous board 20 years ago was made to move the funding to the rural fund, 22 positions is what we moved, okay, in order to make the numbers flow. So they picked the 18 road deputies and 4 detectives at that point in time to move.
You said 5 detectives total.
There are 5 detectives total.
Okay.
The 5th detective is actually being funded out of the general fund and is the one that is in the gang task force down in Des Moines. Okay. So the rural fund is tighter. So one way to still be able to be more flexible in that fund is to keep 22 positions there, move one of the detectives to the general fund. Your decision, but honestly, the detectives,
they serve
everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense, but it's a matter of what you want, how you want to handle it.
So just unclear what that means then, potentially 2 would be detectives would be in the general fund. Because I thought you just said that there were 5. Yes, there were 5.
Yes.
That's one.
There are 5 total detectives. 1's being paid from the general fund, 4 from the rural fund currently.
So if we add another.
If you add a patrol deputy to the rural fund, to offset that, you could move a detective to the general fund.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you still have 22 positions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It'll just be 3 detectives and 19 deputies.
Gotcha. I just want to make sure I was clear on how you're stating that. Thank you.
It makes more sense to me to pay a detective out of another additional detective out there than to put a deputy in there, because the deputies are just all rural.
So, and then one of the options, though, that I had mentioned before, then, is that if we cap, well, we weren't talking about the detectives per se, but we were talking about the fact that we're taking the motor greeter leases out of the local option sales tax, which is part of the rural fund, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So another way to do that would be to transfer the motor greeter leases back into secondary roads, because we know secondary roads has a 1.7 million over capacity, and then move the detectives to, or move everybody into keeping them in the rural.
Now, that worked for this year, so I want to ask that in future years going down the road, if would that still be all right to move it to the rural? Leave it in the rural, because we might end up in a situation where there's a possibility there will be we might have to increase the levy on the rural then to pay for all that, and if the motor graders would have to come back also. So that's just but I wanted to take a look at that.
I want to address that because the motor grader lease is being paid out of local option sales tax dollars in the rural fund
right now.
So if you move that out,
mm-hmm.
you will free up $250,000 that needs to be used for general county betterment in the unincorporated areas.
Okay.
So the and you would have to increase the rural levy
mm-hmm.
enough to cover that. To send, not necessarily this year, you might not have to.
Right.
However, it is being used for local effort, so you have to have another $250,000 worth of local effort, which is levy against the rural fund.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the reason that we've been taking that out of the local option sales tax dollars, that million, whatever that 40% is, and I can give you exact numbers here, is because that frees up rural levy.
It does free up rural levy, but whether it's through the rural levy or whether it would be through the local option sales tax with that restriction on it, it's also money that we could use. We could give soil conservation more money for them to go ahead and do some more of those payments for the prairie strips, for example, because that would be the community betterment in the unincorporated areas, correct?
The USDA has it's where the prairie strip program is, not soil and water conservation.
Okay, I guess I didn't hear what soil and water was saying, because didn't they say they gave
They were saying USDA had just approved that CRP money could be used for cover strips, or prairie strips.
Right, but they'd also talked about giving some kind of grants. There also were the rural programs in the schools. So I'm talking about freeing up some money to do some conservation type projects related to water quality. So it'd be flipping over then. This year, we've got capacity in the actual secondary roads fund.
Correct, but we still need to make the 75% local effort. So my problem with that is that if you, free those up, then you're going to have to increase the amount you give to secondary roads anyway, because you need to make 75% local effort.
And that $250,000 doesn't count if we're using it out of what we've already got in the accounts, is what you're saying.
It doesn't count because it's part of the local effort you're making from the rural fund. It's just out of local option sales tax revenue as opposed to rural levy.
Okay. Well, so one way or the other, but right now we're taking out a local option sales tax. If we wanted to do that, it would be an increase in the levy. In the rural levy, okay. I just wanted to make sure about that, because don't I see an increase here in the all of the calculations here on the rural levy?
All but one.
Okay.
There's one sheet that does not increase it.
Number four.
But it also gives us a very small ending fund balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So with doing what you're talking about, doing it would increase it even more than we already may need to increase it.
All right. So the $3.23 is basically what was last year.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The very first numbers I ran, and is on number four in this case, were based on using the same dollar amount what that levy would be, which only gives us an 11% ending fund balance in the rural fund. There are many scenarios you can do in between that. You know, we can do a levy of $3.19 end with about a 17% ending fund balance. If we do $3.15, we're at a 16% ending fund balance. There are many different scenarios you can do with your dealing with ending fund balance versus levy dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at different ways. I just wanted to give you a this is one of the ways that it can be presented.
So looking at number one and just taking the quick view here, it's at 95% budgeted on salaries.
Correct.
Which are one thing we had discussed and seemed to like, okay? It's the rural levy stays the same. It's no increase, but we know we've got increased valuation. Therefore, we've got increased tax revenue. And it's a rural at 21%. And 18% is what you said would be ideal. So there is that 3% in there right away already to kind of play with then about my thought. All right.
Yeah, but one thing that I'll say is that the by budgeting salaries at 95%, that's about $100,000 for the rural fund.
Okay.
Approximately.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. All right. And this is all at us with the, you know, still taking the 75% rather than looking forward to put more into that rural fund. That's the one thing I'm a little unclear of. You could help me with, Lisa. So if we took the 250,000 out from the lost dollars, and we're taking them into just out of the secondary roads dollars, we'd have to put in the difference here, and you're saying then we might be transferring from the general fund, we could transfer from the general fund some more, or from the rural fund we'd have to pull still more.
The very bottom, the maximum transfer,
yes,
down there,
right.
Okay, so 75%.
Mm-hmm.
I've got those numbers listed there.
Right.
So the budget right now is moving $2.3 million,
mm-hmm,
from the rural to the secondary roads fund. Then you add the $250,000,
mm-hmm,
to, yes, this amount, and that's where I get the 70. You're meeting your 75%,
mm-hmm,
local effort. Okay?
Right.
You would not meet your local effort by just doing this and moving those dollars directly to that.
Okay, thank you.
You would have to increase the amount you're giving to secondary roads in order to meet your 75% local effort.
So I came up with the difference between what you'd given us originally for rural services and then what you've now got us at the same levy rate, because I came up with the same. I came up there with a total of $308,000 more that we were going to take in via the rural fund.
Correct.
Is that's your math also, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's just between the 3.3 and the 3.6. Yeah.
Okay. So if 308,000 minus the 250,000, I mean, we've got more than enough capacity to move into the rural fund, because that's how much more we would be raising, correct? Than if we went with the same dollar amount. And the local option sales tax money is different, or is that included in rural services? Is it in that 3.69 million? That's what I'm asking you.
No,
lost is not in that tax amount, correct?
No.
So that's why I'm thinking we've got capacity without having to raise beyond the 3.23923.
So let's go with that thought. The way that the local option sales tax ballot was read was that you,
mm-hmm,
had to spend 40% in the of your local option sales tax revenue
mm-hmm.
in the unincorporated area for general county betterment.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we move that 250 out of there,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking you're...
Well, then that 250 would be available for the other projects type that I was talking about, or a part of it. Let's say we don't move the whole 250,000 out, okay? Let's say we want to maybe look at some conservation efforts that the first year are 50,000, and some other projects that would fit for the unincorporated areas. And so let's say that we end up with 100,000 of local option sales tax money that we want to go ahead and retain as for community betterment, and the 250 or the other 150 we'd move over to secondary roads. Okay, so then we'd only be making up 100,000 out of the secondary roads, if you will, and still make the 75%. We'd be off only that 100,000 for the 75%. Meanwhile, we'd have 100,000 we could dedicate to water type projects or conservation type projects or many things, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay, so that's, I think it's one way to look at some capacity, building some capacity for us to address some of our other needs or concerns or projects we want to move forward with.
What projects do we want to move forward with? That's what I'm having trouble with in this conversation. You're trying to find some money, loosen up some money,
mm-hmm.
so we can do some things. You mentioned one thing. I said USDA is already covering that. So I'm not understanding what we've gone through all of these budget.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through the whole budget process here, and that was the goal of that is to determine what we want to fund or what. And now I'm kind of hearing
sure.
you're opening it up. Are you opening it up again, saying there's more things I want to fund?
I thought today that was part of that conversation. I find this a budget that is very focused on feeding the internal and not focused on us moving forward on initiatives. That's where I am. I'm trying to find capacity for initiatives, whether it be childcare, you know, I'd already addressed my housing part, or conservation. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm saying this is a budget that maintains the status quo, and this is a budget that I don't see us being able to build some capacity for benefiting the community in general. So that's the kind of conversation I'm opening up. Not that we haven't been through all the numbers here. It's just that the numbers don't leave much wiggle room, okay? But also in kind of us starting to move forward as far as taking goals forward. That's what I'm saying. And so I'm looking for ways to make sure there might be some capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking of kind of like a miscellaneous fund?
Yes, I am. And I know you don't like that miscellaneous fund, but having sat here for 3 years, I've seen what has come up. And once again, I'm going to go back to the projections on the general funds that Lisa's given us on these four scenarios here. Okay, 26%, 23% out of general is what I'm looking, 24% and 24%. And in the past year that I've sat here, those projections have had bigger expectations of ending fund balances, so there was capacity. And even as we've sat here and we've talked to the various departments and offices with Linda reading the statement about, and if you need something, come to us. Okay, you know, and say, and we'll try and find the money for it. These general fund balances are all right around where we want the minimum to be, at 25%. There's not that, it's saying when you are projecting a 31% fund balance, and you say, okay, so if you need it, come see us because we project this, that we will have some capacity.
that's how the budgets were passed. And instead, we are looking here that there's no capacity showing here right now. So if somebody comes to us, or we ourselves get asked for something, or we ourselves want to look at some initiative, we, per what's here in front of us and in the book, there's not the money to do it. Unless we actually would really raise taxes now, or raise the levy rate. What Lisa's done is a good job of giving us the four options. I mean, you know,
the thought process,
and you've done it. Like I said, you've done a lot of work on it. So I just, that's what I'm pointing out here.
So in FY15-16, the levy rate was $8.56. In 17, it was 8.28. In 18, it was 8.27. And 19, it was 8.24.
Can you say those again? So,
yeah, 15 and 16 were the same. So they were both $8.56. At 17 was 8.27. 18 was 8.27. And 19 was 8.24.
I'm sorry, I missed something there. 15 and 16 were 8.56.
Yeah.
17 was
8.27. No, 20 around. It goes up 5 digits. Mm-hmm. So tell me how what you want. I detailed you want.
Okay. 18 was
8.27.
19 was
8.24.
Okay.
And one thing that going into the budgets, we can look back in history. The general fund, obviously, the biggest biggest fund we have, and the most things coming in and out of it. What we budget usually is between 4% and 5% less than what the actual is. So if we budgeted 8.26%, the odds are it's going to come in at around 30. But that's just historically based. Okay, that's just how we historically have ended. The other funds, they're pretty close. Well, except secondary roads fund, but yeah, they're pretty close.
I guess the other thing I would point out here is this is nothing we can do about any of this. This is the mental health part of this. But a lot of where actually the difference in the mental health, you know, is a big change. And then also the other thing that I think in a couple of years then that will be noticeable in impact is the drop in debt service. So of the levy that we've got now, of the $8.36, I'll stay there, okay, versus our levy of $8.24, I'm just looking at projection one right now, okay, all right, but that is almost all attributable within a couple of pennies to the drop of the debt service rate. So if then we go ahead and do take on debt again, like we're planning to do with secondary roads, et cetera, so then right away the levy is going to go back up. Just one of the concepts that has been discussed at the table has been trying not to get levies that jump up and down and jump up and down.
Right, and I would have loved to have brought forward something that was more stable on that debt service. It is not something that I could do, nor could we do. So let me just explain that, because last year we were paying off, 2 years ago we paid off the Justice Center, so we were going to go to a zero levy. Well, not really, because we knew the Storycom was coming. So we knew there was going to be a $3 million debt there. So that's only 2 or 3 cents per thousand. for debt service. Let's get some secondary roads projects done. Let's go forward. Let's assume it's going to be about $8 million. So when we put the budget together last year, the budget was put together based on a $8 million secondary roads bond. You guys are all aware of that, I think. And that's where we got the 16 cents, which was pretty stable with what we've been. Since we can't go into another year and say, yes, we know we're going to bond $8 million, you have to certify debt by April 1st in order to levy for debt. So if we put this together, assuming we're gonna do another $8 million and get the 16 cents per se, all that's gonna do is get lowered when we don't certify debt by April 1st. Because you can set your local budget, you can set your local levy rate, you can do all that, but if you don't certify the debt, the Department of Management says you can't have that. So this $138 million debt or $138,000 debt service, 2 cents, 2.5 cents, is really to make the StoryCom payment plus an additional $3 million as opposed to $8 million mm-hmm. in secondary roads.
Okay, thanks, Lisa, for expanding on that. Expounding.
So, yeah, you're exactly right. My first 18 years here, the priority was always to keep the levy rates fairly stable. To not do a lot of this, which has always been hard. Lisa and I were having this conversation the other day, back in the day when we had, you know, local mental health. It was still doing the same thing, depending on what the mm-hmm. what the state was giving us and not giving us, and we tried really hard to keep that as level as possible. You're right. You look at it. There's very few variables in here that you can actually say, let's do this
yeah.
for a rate, or let's do this for a because three of them are set for you right now. You can't do anything about them. Well, that's not true. You can do something about the $3.50, but that totally whacks out everything we're doing. So that's a problem. I just want to note that the new publication requirement, if you go over 2%, you have to have a vote, a separate resolution, and then go forward. That 3.07 that you see there and mm-hmm. the 9.12 that you see there, that's what that is showing you, okay, is what those are going to look like when you go to that publication.
Say that again. What do you?
So the requirement is if you're asking for more than
2%. More than 2%, what you
get
next.
If you're asking okay. for tax dollars of more than 2% mm-hmm. above last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'm standing up because I have to move around. Doesn't take into account what the actual, all that does is take a dollar amount and versus yes. a dollar amount.
Mm-hmm. You're not increasing your rate. It's just because your assessed valuation is going up, which your levy is going up. But you're referring to some, and that's where my mind just went, you're referring to some numbers on the sheet.
Yes,
yeah,
the rates.
The rates? Yeah. That's what so you were referring to. Okay, got it. Thank you.
So the only rates that are going to show up on your publication mm-hmm. are going to be your general supplemental and your rural supplemental.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't your debt service and your mental health are excluded from that. So, from that publication.
So those are the factors I'm taking into consideration myself. Kind of what I've listed out here, the various observations.
Yeah, and you know there's. We can talk about all these different options if you want. We can talk about what you don't want to do, what you do want to do, whatever. I just gave you the numbers as they appear after your direction at the end of the budget work session.
So option one is the only one within 95%.
Yeah, and like I said, I could easily give you those calculations if you want to do that. The general fund's about 400,000, and the rural fund's about a little over 100,000.
Okay.
So those are what those numbers do for you in fund balance and expense scenario.
Thank you. Lisa, you've been here in times where, and Alyssa has been too, where general fund has dipped below that 25%. Okay.
We've actually, yeah, there have been years that we put a budget together below the 25% for budget purposes, knowing, again, that typically we're going to come in higher when it's all said and done.
So at what point in those years, let's say that we went ahead and we went with the 95%, and then, you know, knowing that there's there could be a $500,000 swing in worst case scenario, 400 plus the 100,000, okay? So that would drop us down, and that would put us down there where around like 21% then, general fund?
Oh, no, that doesn't affect the general fund that much. I think it puts it down to like 22.5.
Oh, 22.5. Okay, got it. All right, thank you. So 95% from my standpoint is comfortable. I know if we go at 100% and then we end up running at 95% of salaries, you know, we definitely have then built in that capacity. There's our capacity back to be able to adapt, to be able to be forward-thinking if an opportunity presents itself. So, but in worst-case scenario, we're not pulling the general fund down a whole lot, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So in 15, we put together a budget that had a 22% ending fund balance. That was our original budget.
Mm-hmm.
We ended at 26. I don't think we did 95% of salaries that year. I think we did 100%. We went ahead and budgeted 100%, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
In 16, we budgeted at 24.8, and we ended at 32.1. 17, we budgeted at 29 and ended at 32. You know, like I said, it's a matter of what the board wants to do for A, levy rates, and B, ending fund balances. The other thing that we have to think of is this is a new ball game with the new publication and the new get it out there what we're doing. Lisa just asked me a question earlier, or before we started this, about the difference in the levy rate, the $8.36 versus the $8.24. And I have to go, I don't have in front of me the rollback for last year. But just the levy rate difference makes a house that's $100,000 assessed, which is $55,600 taxable, your taxes are $11 a year less that the county gives. The new law is not a fair comparison, I don't think. Okay. I guess I can have an opinion on that. Doesn't matter, but I can. Because your rollback changes every year. your valuation changes every year. So you can't compare apples to apples on tax statements very easily. But the levy rate is what your taxes are going to be based on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then last year, what we did too is we did build in a little more capacity because we were concerned that we would be moving forward, starting with fiscal year 21, stuck at 2%, not
right.
just having.
Correct.
A, yeah.
Correct.
So I'm comparing here, and once again, as I looking at number one, it does show us on the general supplemental, which everybody pays, that we have come down that 3 cents, which was that additional capacity we had kind of planned for, given the fact if we were stuck for everything was a 2% cap above that. Okay.
Well, again, the legislation was out there, but nobody was real clear how
we
it was going to work.
Right.
So, yeah, that
we didn't know. So, yeah, but I mean that we were stuck. You couldn't collect any more money than that. So that does reflect, without going any higher with the rural. And the reason we had a pretty vivid discussion on rural because rural is, and boy, this is worse for rural than last year, but rural had not been raised for, I think, a decade. The levy had not, rate had not been raised. And so I think that budget number one, and budget three are the two that reflect kind of the discussion from last year and then are making a little bit of adjustment given the legislature did not limit us to 2% period, but it does continue to keep the same rural levy, but we're not hiking it any higher. Okay. We hiked it last year after a decade of it being pretty stagnant.
It was $3.18
yeah.
from 13 until 19.
So yes, we brought
so
it.
So it was 6 years worth of $2 or $3.18.
Thank you.
Okay. Before that, it had just been a couple cents lower for the 2 years before that. So in the same range.
Thank you.
And that was why I did say that, you know, if you want to look at a difference there, you know,
mm-hmm.
bumping that down a little bit, you can still acquire like a 17% ending fund balance by going to $3.19 or almost $3.20, which lowers it just a hair. Yeah,
that's
the rural fund pays for its own benefits. So we always have to be cognizant to the fact that when we're talking, you know, we build in a 15% increase in insurance across the board. Part of that is in the rural fund.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's where those salaries come from.
Right. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Which, and that has the other issue that's in the back of my mind is living through the 2 years of shock of Alyssa crunching numbers and making phone calls and living on the phone after 1 year almost, it seems like, and stuff. So, so that's a little bit my hesitancy not to drop the rural back down to the 2.9. That's in number four. And it also shows the general supplemental, us dropping that down too. But this, so that's
I might just add, uh-huh. I did bump that supplemental up just a hair to give us a little bit more money in the supplemental fund, which is where we pay for a lot of insurance for all the rest of us. And that was just, I pulled a number. I mean, I'm not going to say there was any magic behind that number, except that gives us an idea of, okay, what if we do this? Where does that put the supplemental ending mm-hmm. fund balance? Now, understand that one of the things when I say I'm looking at, when I say in like number one I put the salaries at 95% for budget, I did that for the general fund and the rural fund. All the supplemental parts, mm-hmm. the FICA, the IFRS, and the insurance are at 100% in these budgets.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that that supplemental is a restricted use fund anyway, it makes more sense to me to just leave it at 100%. What we don't spend, we use in the ending fund balance for the next year's calculation. There's only certain things you can pay for out of that fund, and it's not going anywhere. So that's for total, you know, okay, do we want to bump that just a little to be on the safe side type thing? For fund balance.
So even if we go with the 100%, okay, given that, you know, we can still disperse 95%. We can still go ahead and appropriate only 95%, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so we still retain that budget control. The difference here is exactly what we're going to end up asking for the tax askings overall.
It does it affect it a little bit differently, don't you? You're only appropriating 95% of the whole budget versus budgeting 95% of salaries.
Couldn't they
come back and
yes?
Yeah, they could come back and request that additional 5%.
Yeah. Whereas if you only budget the 95%, that's all there is, and then a budget amendment that you do mm-hmm. in April mm-hmm. gets the salaries to where we really think they're going to be, and that might only be 95%. but it doesn't give the
why would you want to budget salaries at 100% when we use 95%?
If you budget 100% and then come back for it,
still back of you know mm-hmm. where it would be there.
Okay,
so yeah,
get that.
No, I really like number one. I like that Lisa has not dropped the entire general supplemental, but shoved in just a little bit, a couple cents more, you know, above where we were before. So I like the 1 cent or $1 on the general supplemental, but the rest of what I really like is number one. So,
you said you like the general supplemental on.
On choice number two. What she did is she didn't raise it all the way back up.
Right.
She just went ahead. She took the 98,283, which was basically where we were before.
The dollar amount.
Right, where we were before. And then she's just saying, let's get a couple extra cents, okay, on the levy. So based upon our new valuation here for a little capacity. Mm-hmm.
How does that change all your percentages here? Because you've got on number two, it's calculated at 100%.
That changes off the screen.
And also has how you're doing your positions as well. Because in number two, you have it out of the rural, one deputy.
Oh, yeah. The rural, on number two, that was leaving 23 positions in the rural fund.
Right. So I'm just trying to figure out
how do the numbers change?
How do the numbers change if you do the one versus the 98.283 on sheet one? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I lost you somewhere there. So you're saying increase if you increase the dollar to a dollar.
Right.
Okay. It's not going to change your supplemental all that much. I mean, your supplemental is still going to be about 27%. Like it is on number two.
Okay, so it would increase on this page from 25 to 27.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it would do, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the supplemental fund has not pulled back out 5% anyway.
Okay. And how does that change the overall rate then on number one?
So that changes the overall rate to $8 and...
The 826. That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't. I know. I don't want to do the math in my head. I want to.
$8.25?
Oh, it did. 25. Okay.
don't see it.
That's well, I'm.
Yeah, that'd be right. You're right.
Okay. Because if I take, you got to carry it out by stupid
things. Right, right, right. That's why I wasn't trying to do it in my head.
Right. So it's point, no, it's that it would be higher. I'm sorry. 8.983 plus 0.1717 is $8.31. I'm sorry.
So what does extra capacity in general supplemental get us? Because aren't there just 9 things per the code that you can use general supplemental on?
Correct. What it gets you is a little bit more flexibility when it comes to increases in insurance.
Okay.
And we've used that also to transfer. We've budgeted reserve.
Okay. So it's payroll taxes, insurance. I know emergency management commission is in there, but they're not asking for more.
And what we don't know what our
what other items.
We don't know what our increase in our liability insurance is.
You won't know until after.
We don't know until July, technically. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I don't anticipate a huge increase, but.
So are you feeling like we need a little more room in general supplemental?
25% is tight in general supplemental,
okay.
And 25% is tight because of the unknown insurance rates when we put this budget together,
okay.
And the unknown insurance when we pay it July 1st, what our liability is going to be.
And we have to pay our liability.
Yeah, we have to pay our liability insurance July 1st.
We have tried to break that out. They will not. I mean, it's got to be right away. So you have to have a good ending fund.
I'm giving you numbers.
No, I know.
I don't
send the questions.
I think that a little higher than 25% is not a bad idea in the supplemental fund.
Okay.
We also, so the way we've been budgeting insurance for the last however many years since we went to the new format is that we base our assumptions on who's taking insurance now and
mm-hmm.
what they're taking now. For next year, adding 15% to that. So if we have every new employee that comes on in the next 6 months take the family plan, we don't have enough money budgeted.
I think you've kind of convinced me that it would be good to have the general supplemental higher. But the reason I brought up the 9 things that are allowed is that doesn't give you that doesn't meet your what you were
it doesn't
trying to
mean
do.
My other capacity. However, it does. My big, I said that my other fear is the insurance, and that insurance could even dip further into than if we've got to pull out a general fund to do it. But you're right. It doesn't address the capacity. I'm trying to work within what we've got here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we...
Okay, so I said 831. That's not right.
The
rate would
be
826,
yeah. Right?
It would be the 826. It doesn't change that. It changes your fund balance down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So if I add in, or I subtract. Okay. Wait a minute.
Shouldn't it be the exact same as number 2?
Yeah.
8.26700.
26%.
Mm-hmm.
General fund.
26%. Yeah. So.
By budgeting salaries at
95%. Right. So the change in for capacity then that I was talking about, otherwise, Linda, which. Would have to go in with rural services or that long conversation that we had before with, you know, that I think Lisa and I had related to some of those projects.
The 40% of the loss?
Yeah, the loss.
That yeah. seemed awfully complex to me, and it wasn't the conclusion that the rural levy would have to go up?
Yes.
Why not just take the rural levy up?
Huh?
You had the role of go hire? Why? You don't know what that is? Is that what you're asking?
I'm still trying to, having this, taking the 40% of the lost money. When you went through that explanation and you said that would make the rural levy blow up, what Laura's was suggesting.
Right. Right. Okay. Because there's no current rural dollars, expenditures, that you can move to the to replace that $250,000 mm-hmm. that benefits primarily the unincorporated area mm-hmm. that would do you any good. Because that 250 being where it's at gives us the local effort still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you still have the local effort coming from a place that it's going to be the rural fund anyway. If you move that out, you need to meet your local effort to secondary roads still, and you're going to need to do it by transfers from the general and the rural fund, and you can't get enough out of the general basically to do it, so you have to do it in the rural.
So then the other way back to my comment about the more capacity of us being able to maybe move forward if a project comes or whatever is we go back and we cut out of what we're doing. These are all calculated on the asks.
Right.
Right. So then we go back and we take a look at more further about what do we want to do as far as the budget. Yeah, which would go back and look, which would bring us back to taking a look at some expenses. Yeah, going back and either saying to departments and offices, we would like you to try and take half a percent out. That's across the board. We've discussed the downside of that or whatever. But and then there's, like I said, I feel this budget is very internally focused with the requests from some for new this and new that. Now, and the number of vehicles we're buying and et cetera, and then the addition of staff.
I don't know what you mean by internally focused.
To support the efforts of the work internally. How's that?
Well, I don't think we have any work that's internal at the county.
I meant helping them do their work, maybe is the way to
support
put it.
Support current operations.
Support current operations. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sandra.
Okay.
Yeah, as
and
opposed to look for outward for what we can do.
Okay. So are you thinking that the staffing requests, I'm just seeking clarification, are more internal and don't support?
No, I think that we've already discussed the sheriff and the attorney requests, and I feel very comfortable with both of those clear decisions I thought, you know, that we had made, okay, at least up to this point here, because they directly delivered more services or needed services to benefit out to the public directly. There was a very direct connection. And as I said earlier, I was not convinced on the auditor one. And so I don't know what the amount was that Lisa shoved in there, but there's a little bit of capacity. 45 total, but 45 and then benefits, etc.
45 in the general. 45 in the general and then benefits on that.
This okay. So we're back up around 70, 75. 30. Okay. So, so that was one place there.
I think about, there are a lot of things that are done in the auditor's office, and some of them are internal, some of them are to support the Board of Supervisors' operations, quite frankly. And but what was talked about a lot in the budget
work session was the elections. And Story County continues to increase its population and increase the number of registered voters and the number of people who vote. I remember hearing we might have another, might end up after the census having another precinct. The work that goes into elections and keeping our elections working as well as they do is out of the auditor's office. And I think that workload is going to be increasing, and I don't see that as internal because the internal resources are the resources that staff those polling places, that staff voter registrations, that work, you know, in terms of making an election, which is a very, very complicated system, work smoothly. I think it's at the core of what we do, and I think that the need is increasing. And I also remember from the auditors, and I wrote the numbers down, in the past 10 years, I think the auditor's office has lost three staff.
Two staff, and
working with a much larger electorate, more elections, more complicated elections. So I don't think it's internal.
I heard there was more work. Definitely heard more work. Mm-hmm. I agree that elections are important. What I heard was that Lucy was doing some work that she would prefer Kevin to do because Kevin was doing this job. And that's what I heard out of the presentation. The work was being done, but there was not, that it wasn't the preferred way of who was doing each of these duties.
And I think to expand on that is when that happens in any office. I mean, if you have new stuff you need to do, if you're not staffed appropriately, other positions are taken away from what their essential functions are and kind of make up for them in real simple terms. So I think the workload and the different things that elections has had to do because of changes in processes or election laws or different things like that has increased that workload. In turn, they don't have the correct staffing, so it has fallen on possibly the elected official, and then there's other things that the elected official isn't able to do or oversee.
And if I recall correctly, too, this was more IT-specific than what Kevin's position called for, and so it's not as detailed. Mm-hmm. Or hasn't had the time to upload all the information that is required because of the legislation.
Kevin is the appointed deputy, so he's going to take any election duties that need to be done to them. Yeah. That's his job. But but yes, you're exactly right when you say it's more IT related because he's getting sucked into that as opposed to being able to do what his election deputy.
Right. And that's why I was just rereading what the position was. Mm-hmm. It helped jog my memory from the conversation because I just. Yeah. So it was 2 days ago I need that jogging or whatever and what that was, and this was a week ago on it.
And that's going to be necessary because elections are more and more automated. There's working with databases at the Secretary of State's office. There's working with the voter database that goes out on elections. And Lucy said 95% of her time goes to elections. There's several functions in the auditor's office. And she's spending 95% of her time on elections. That means she's backfilling someplace where she doesn't have that capacity.
I'm sorry she's sick. And it's unfortunate today because I would have had a couple questions for her to help me visualize that more at 95% of the elections. Maybe my view of election work is too narrow. And I'm thinking of it being much more at certain times, at primaries, at the elections themselves.
They're planning the general election right now. I walked into her office the other day and said, "What were you doing? What are you doing? Or what you working on?" And she was working on the November general election. And she starts work on that the minute this election is over. She's working on the next one.
Well, it used to be more cyclical.
Yeah, it,
now
it, you are exactly right. Alyssa made that. Alyssa and I had that conversation, you know, because she's got history in our office.
9 years.
She says, you know, it used to be more cyclical. I can't speak, apparently.
I think the difference that she pointed out as well, if I may pop in here too, was the increasing amount of satellite locations as well that has really taken up a huge amount of her time, your staff's time. And she, if I'm recalling the conversation between her and Kevin, they anticipated that to continue to grow as well.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, and I'll just speak from working in that office, I find that I am very glad when I see email after email after email pop up to the auditor's office that's about election, that I can just know that they'll take care of it.
Got it.
Okay. So to your point of, you know, certain times, in my tenure here, I cannot believe how that's changed. I honestly can't. And some of it is the rules that come down that we have to scramble to change everything to do. Some of it is the ongoing conversations and issues and problems with polling locations and having to find those constantly or play nice to keep them constantly or whatever the case may be. There's just a lot more year-round issues than every 2 years we have a big election and we work our butts off.
And one thing people don't realize is after the caucus is next Monday night, thousands of new voter registrations will come into the auditor's office that have to be checked, and you have to make sure that those folks are who they say they are. You've got five places to check on that, and then it has to go into, do you still use iVoter?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, then they don't have to be closed voter registration enough.
Yeah, the law is changing. Mm-hmm. That the whole EDR, same-day voter registration that got pushed through has made our life absolutely totally different. Totally different. Okay. And part of that is where we're located.
Mm-hmm. You mean in Iowa?
We have a university.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We have a university.
All right. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So you're right. My view is out of date. Okay. I mean,
well,
this and as far as I certainly support elections.
You know, I worked as an election official from about 2010 until the time that I was candidate on the ballot.
Right.
And I'll just tell you, there's a lot of work that is done around them. I mean, you've got to be ready a couple months before the election, which means your readiness is months before that.
Because
if you start getting ready for a general election in August, you are not in good shape.
No, right.
You are not in good shape. It's
procrastinators need not apply.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking at it,
I am just very, you know, much. I think it's a key duty of ours to make sure that we have good elections, that we do everything that we can to make sure there's not going to be voter fraud, whereas letting everybody vote who should be able to vote, and that takes looking at voters one at a time often. Looking at voter registrations, looking at situations, and what, you're on your second database now. You have Precinct Atlas, now there's a new one. And that's the other thing with this position, quite frankly, is that'll change too. That's going to change probably again in a few years. It'll probably need to continually be updating software, continually be training people on software.
The one reason that Kevin is so thankful that you as a board, when we went forward with the 10X, was because of all of the updating. When he had 100 little computers that had Precinct Atlas on them, here's what happened every Tuesday of an election. Windows update Tuesday morning. So they'd throw everything out that he had just got done spending his last
3 months working on
that. Is, that is, we're been, I understand.
So that was almost the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. So when you guys, you know, went ahead and okayed the purchase of 10X to get off the Windows platform, mm-hmm. it was a big sigh of relief for him.
All right. So then we've got the auditor's position here. I know that Carla had sent an email about the housing coordinator position, which was she asking us to reconsider? Is that really what she said?
Well, I didn't tell her that you had said a definite no, and as Lisa pointed out, you haven't made a final decision. So she had hope that the position would be funded. And I think that she just wanted to provide some additional information to provide support for trying to enhance services and create additional efficiency and effectiveness at a time when it looks like the board is kind of holding the line when it comes to positions.
And it was questioned whether she could do it with current staffing levels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
I remember she didn't want to provide the information that...
Yeah, that was a question we asked.
And her answer to that was that she couldn't.
They've already transitioned some of that general assistance processes to their administrative assistants and just the processing the applications. So that was done a couple of years ago. And I know they've been looking at this. I was trying to remember when the first conversation came up. I want to say it's almost 4 years ago. 3 to 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I do know she mentioned, too, it would align with some of the some of our strategic goals.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
pretty well. I mean, it's...
I read through her memo twice. Yeah. I highlighted. I printed what I highlighted. I can't get beyond at this point it being only a half-time position. That's where, as I read through that... In what I read in the memo was just talking about why the admin assistant can't pick it up, you know, why the
a different level,
and then why the program coordinator is more than enough to do. But I still couldn't in my mind get there to that full time position at this point.
It's not that concerned, but it kind of dovetails in. I wish I had taken the time to sit down with Carla and to go through what happens now when somebody comes in with housing assistance needs. It seems to me like it's more of a process issue than a workload issue.
I think they have to go to each additional place. So we're sending them. So they go to one, they go to the next, they go to the other. So I think it's streamlined.
Let me just ask you really quick. Who do I go talk to if I want housing?
I think the general assistance applications can be handled a little bit by the administrative assistants, because it's pretty specific guidelines. You either meet the income requirement or
you
don't.
So you talk to a human being right now.
Yep.
And probably ask the same questions, or maybe there's more questions that could be asked.
Mm-hmm.
Then the only thing I see is, you know, you go to a database.
Now you're collecting more information because we did ask this, and I asked mm-hmm. just try to figure out how much additional face time would you have with that consumer, and Aaron felt like easily 30 to 45 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you're getting more information. All we're asking for is income, mm-hmm. and you either meet that guideline or you don't. So they would have to get other information, things to figure out where they could send. Mm-hmm. So she thought the FaceTime with that consumer is why current, mm-hmm. and they might not, you know, with her numbers there, it's applications. She did say sometimes the consumer, I mean, they'll come in more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So then each time, I mean, it's just...
She's trying to provide a different level of service. Mm-hmm. And the way she described it, it really does sound like it's terribly inefficient now, where the county is the first stop. They still have to go mm-hmm. to all of these other places, mm-hmm. so they basically have to run around, whether or not they have transportation mm-hmm. or whatever yep. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And by providing this different level of service, The housing coordinator is really going to be doing that type of thing in the background. Mm-hmm. And the technology is going to help support that. They're still going to be collaborating with these other organizations, these other entities. But she also made a point that it's not the county that brought this up as to something that needed to be done. She said this actually came from another organization and that they were brought in later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Initially.
Yeah. And I, in turn, so part of her conversation was that they have their data system to collect that additional information, and that these other organizations would have some accessibility or somehow to tap into a portion of it, not the whole thing, but to a portion of it. My question kind of goes back to, and this is, you know, where I wish she was here, you know, this time for a little bit more clarification, is, I mean, is it that the thought that that person, that new staff person, would take the individual, like a case manager, to these other locations? Or is it more of, is it more just calling or having it all in there and saying, yes, they are going to meet the criteria based on, I mean, that's what
database.
Right, that would all be in the database. That's what I just...
That was my understanding, that ISAC is going to be making some changes to the Community Services Network in order to allow it to be able to talk to these other agencies and to be able to do some of that legwork behind the scenes.
And they're not going to go out and meet with these other individuals.
No.
Now, the other agencies will still have to approve their funding. Because I asked, I said, so in all reality, it's going to free up time at the other agencies.
Right.
Because they're not going to be meet, they're not going to, the individual's not going to have to go and meet with each separate agency for that.
So it means the agency doesn't have to meet with the individual.
So, and then I asked about that. She goes, and then they'd be able to focus on some of the other. That's the whole collaborative.
That, but read the job description. It goes way beyond being an intake worker. That's what I'm going to call what we've been talking about here, is a centralized intake, which Carla called it, centralized intake worker. The rest of this is talking about working with some of these people to try and get them stabilized. It's a casework.
Like service coordination.
Like a service, well, service coordination, case worker, okay. So that's the part there where I suppose would take up the other 50% or whatever the time. However, that's the part that I still struggle with, because I think that's what other agencies are doing out there. That's what Two Rivers is doing, to the extent that that coordination, when they're going ahead and they're prioritizing people who are literally becoming homeless and they're looking at those applications every month. That's, you know, an ERP is involved in that, YSS is involved with that, and Access is, because they tend to be the three entry points for people who need immediate housing.
Those are the places that they've already launched.
Mm-hmm. Right, and these people, and for the prevention,
ERP is one of them.
There's ERP, okay.
One of the departments.
And I want to say ERP. Wasn't that who brought
that's
it up?
One of the
part.
Yeah, and actually, that's I'm meeting with their executive director tomorrow at 9:30. We're actually discussing something else, but I can ask her. I think she wants to tell me about all their programs, but actually, it's more of that AIMS person, you know, the housing person. But and long term, maybe housing, building something. But so yes, it was ERP who brought it up, and they don't have enough. And on that, none of the agencies do. I agree. So it frees them up to then concentrate on it. But I think those agencies might be doing some of that other work, though. That's where they would come in.
You know, it depends on what's brought the person to the situation.
Yeah.
I can see where some of the work, there might be a counselor or a substance abuse agency, or somebody might be working with a mental health therapist on this thing. Or there might be people who don't have another caseworker working with them, and it's really hard to say how many of them might their needs for, you know, getting better income or child care, whatever it is that's causing the income problem, you know, how many of them might already be having those needs met elsewhere. And then that becomes kind of a, okay, then you've got to coordinate with yet another caseworker someplace. I don't know. I keep coming, almost coming back to who are the people and what are their needs other than that they don't have wife.
The last, if you remember, Linda, I think this happened last year earlier in the year was we got an appeal, remember, on one denial. And that was a situation where a younger person had just lost their job. And they needed help, period. I mean, this person really didn't need a caseworker. This person was in the process of trying to find another job, but meanwhile was young, starting out, and didn't have reserves once the job loss came. And so, and in that situation, right, I mean, I think the work person is probably going to be down at Iowa Workforce Development, Iowa Works, right, to help them with employment. So, yeah, it's not knowing exactly who's going to be needed, but hand it off. So
the example she emphasized yesterday was someone who had had an accident and was having to, you know, tell her story several different times, go to several different locations.
Right.
You know, and I can understand that from parents who've applied for services for their kiddo. And, you know, it's hard going from place to place, restating your story over and over again. Mm-hmm. And part of it is I would say it's a pride issue, you know, is to have to go, okay, I was denied here, told to go here, now I'm restating the story again, kind of reliving my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get something here, or now I have to go to a third place and restate it over again? So in that respect, I get the centralized, and I've been part of various agencies and coalitions where we've talked about a centralized and how to make things more family friendly. You know, how do you have that one-stop shop and help them go out with that? So I get what she's having here. I'm kind of torn on it a bit. I do wonder, and I just don't remember, where she said that ISAC gave them the okay to move forward with their project or whatever, what their timeline.
It would be at least July 1st before the software would be. And my understanding is there's no additional cost for the software.
That's right now. She said no.
Because it wouldn't be an additional
cost. I'm going to ask Lisa when she's done running her numbers. So what are we talking about as far as then an increase? Well, or I don't think we can increase any particular where we can do even an increase in the levy. So then we're talking about what are we going to cut? All right. So let's look at the budget we've got now, right, and what do we want to do? Do we want to kick one of the CIP programs down the road? That's a general fund CIP because it's a general fund money. So we've got to find, if we were to do this position, what are we going to do about finding the money for it, right? So do we tell conservation something out of their general fund? They actually, in fiscal year 20 and 21, are pulling quite a bit from, like, their conservation reserve, et cetera. In fact, I quickly did some looking at numbers. So in fiscal year 21, if of CIP, it's only about $1.2 million out of general fund. I broke it down into what would come from secondary roads for the CIPs and what's out of the conservation fund and what's out of grants and whatever is supposed are there. All right. So that's what we'd be looking at. We got to cut some money or we have to cut some project, push back something if we were to fund this position, given that we're going to stay with kind of what Lisa's given for number
right.
Of yeah. Okay. So. Or cut some other budget expenses.
We do that. You could also look at if, all in if, that's where you just
put right.
options out there. You could always look at a position, you probably hate this as an HR person, but not starting till January of 2021.
We've done that.
Versus?
We've funded a position, yeah.
Okay, taking a look at where we were.
Yes, I'm just throwing out options. If this is something we want to look further at.
We do that, you know, that in 22 will be annualized.
No, I know. That's I'm throwing it out for discussion purposes. I'm not saying
we
yay or nay on anything.
We have done that, too. We have done that in years past, you know, gone ahead and reality is that we're not going to be able to hire this until halfway through the fiscal year anyway, so let's not put funding in until, let's just fund it at that point. And it basically affects your ending fund balance at this point in time. your percent of ending fund balance.
And then moving forward, just between, you know, the positions we did for secondary roads this year, but of course they're coming from the secondary roads, but then bringing on the three new positions we've got in here now with the attorney auditor and sheriff positions, we already know that we've increased already expenses for fiscal year going forward, right?
And I would say, we've got 100% in our base for this coming year.
That's
the position the attorney's office we discussed probably wasn't an attorney, is that correct?
But was correct, it was a victim services. Right, I just said.
No, because it says here, I just want to make sure that we were all remembered correctly.
Yeah, I put one in attorney, I didn't.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry.
The conversation was, I want to make sure we were all talking the same thing.
Yeah, it was the victim.
Good. The other thing I did ask, and I don't know, I was trying to think outside the box, they have a half-time position at community services. If they increase that to a full-time, would they have the capacity to do this? I don't know if the individual would go to full-time. You know, I mean, there are a lot of different things, and you don't go
they
in.
They have a half-time.
And, she's been there like 18 years.
Okay, I didn't realize.
Yeah. That position on the
It is. It's on here.
So, you said it's the only half-time position.
It's the only half-time position we have in county.
I didn't realize, but I guess I did now that you mentioned it. I remember talking to her about it.
So I don't, and I just threw this out here, and we didn't, you know, if that half-time went to a full-time administrative assistant, could they take one FTE into the housing coordinator? It's a possibility, but a lot of things would have to fall into place.
They would, yeah, because otherwise
would they have to take from the service coordinator still? I mean,
The service coordinators do back up for their admin assistants sometimes now when they're gone and off.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's just like any other office. When you have people out, you do that. But,
yeah, I understand that now.
But, I mean, I didn't know if that would be a capacity enough to take on this new role. It was just something I threw out there. And I don't even know if, because, you know, you questioned another half-time position. Well, if they had two half-time, which I do not, it's tough to recruit that.
Right.
And so. Mm-hmm.
And the question is, too, I think you put up a good thing, is if we wanted to move forward, would their current person move to a full-time? Or do you even say, you know what, I get it, it is hard to recruit part-time, but do you still potentially put it out there as a half-time to see if you get any takers and see, I mean, gives you kind of a baseline for the workload for that as a possibility.
And they've had that. They've had two half-time positions over there. There was an increased amount of turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the past. I mean, they've done stuff where they've had, you know, two half-time positions and done some different things. The one, Melanie's been there. It worked well for her. So,
the beauty I see of it, if it were a half-time position, it's seeming to me, I'm thinking about that database, and some is going to be maintaining that database because you're going to want to put that information in there, you know, up to date and current. That's going to be some accounting. That's going to be talking to the other agencies who are putting that money in or having that money available. I just see a lot of, I kind of question whether some of this can't be picked up by an administrative assistant.
I've looked at that. I think it's got more service coordination.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Meeting with the client, doing different things. What the admin assistants are doing right now, they're just taking that information, processing those applications. They're not meeting with the clients. They're not going through things, getting into all that service coordination piece. I would not be comfortable in paying someone as an administrative assistant, but really having them do service coordination. So I think what we have them doing right now
is
fine because it's your basic. And Erin's still approving, you know, she's still doing a good portion.
Yeah, I noticed that when I read the job.
So that's how we made, and a couple of years ago, that's how we made the staffing levels work, because they had an increased workload, and we were able to transition some of that stuff. But they had to keep it really within those essential functions of that job description, so.
Okay.
If we approved it for part-time, half-time, all right, is Carla, would Carla be on board to see if she could get somebody in at half-time, or is she holding out for kind of one or none?
I think that's a discussion you need to have.
Okay.
And we talked about during that time that she would be able to collect some data. And, of course, with the idea that she'd be able to bring that data back and let you know if it's working out or not.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the beginning of what you said there, Sandra.
During that time, she'd be able to collect some data on how things are going, you know, what the benefit is, and with the idea that she'd be able to bring that data back and let you know if that was working sufficiently or not.
Half-time?
Except at the half-time.
So you did have that. I'm a little confused here because I kind of half heard, I guess. So are you saying with increasing a current position or bringing on potentially someone new at a half-time to where we'd have that data? Is that the conversation we had with
her? Either way, half-time FTE.
Okay.
So you had two FTEs for admin, administrative purposes, and then that extra FTE would be in the service coordination piece.
Got you.
Okay. That's how you can, that's as close as they can get to doing it with current staffing levels. You'd have to increase a half-time to a full-time.
So I thought you said the administrative, that's the administrative assistant.
No, it would be getting a whole different person. Would be, right? Yeah. Service coordinator. So you'd have two half-time people.
Okay.
The current one and then adding two half-time.
Yeah. So the educational requirements would be most likely different, but certainly the job description.
They are different, but we also have administrative assistants that have been in those roles. So that's why they've been able to do that general assistance piece, too, is that they're credentialed and were in those roles prior.
Sure.
They actually meet the credentials for a service coordinator.
We are very lucky to have these individuals. So we
the training people
make
have
work.
Yeah. Okay.
Not every administrative assistant is going to have meet those qualifications.
Okay.
So
okay.
It was just something. I mean, when we were going through the discussion, just you know, trying to think outside the box. And I don't even know if it would work, but
I was thinking the other day about the operating budget. And I think that almost all of them came in very reasonably. I mean, when we looked at the trends, we looked at the three-year average, I didn't see places where I felt like we could really go further.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, because unless we're taking operating budgets below where they were this year,
no,
I guess it would be doing.
I agree with you. I mean, many of them. That's why I'm saying there's just a couple that have, if you will, things we could take out of, or we look at CIT. And even taking out and just be pushing something like a truck down the road another year, literally maybe pushing the truck down the road another year or something. Yeah.
You'll still have those expenses for next year.
Right.
I get the point to make it this year, but then you're going to be even further, possibly further behind in your future years. But
And when we looked at it this morning, what we did this morning, I don't see us really having. We already pushed the construction for the county attorneys into 22. Every time I look at this, I wish it were on a spreadsheet. I'm trying to figure out.
It's all noted in the back of the CID. Is that easier to
get? Yeah, it is. Summarized on more of a spreadsheet thing, but you have to kind of.
Yeah, but it's still, and even in 21, we have like two or three places listed, but we don't have how much money for each one.
Well, hold on here a second. I mean, you're looking for my little list, I think. I mean,
where do you get the numbers though?
Right off of there,
So then, if you're looking at general fund, you're looking at 21.
Yeah, can you take this one out?
Oh,
I want
to I'm just wondering where you see general fund money that we could free up in 21 out of CIP to put into.
Can you look at the back, page, like page 21 of CIP?
I'm looking at that.
Okay. Because that gives you, and it correlates with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where it gives you.
Yep, there's places where we've got, say, general fund and IDNR.
Right,
general
fund,
and EDC and conservation.
Start with that green line. And then flip it over because it's on both sides of the page, but I've got up there showing which funds they're coming out of. That's what you're kind of thinking. You wish you could see right off of that. So the first line, the first set of numbers or down are the cost of the project, period. Then the right next to that is if it's general fund. And then if you go across, you see I've got, I can't remember, rural fund, secondary roads, conservation, other, which would be grants or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is not the latest one I printed out, so the totals are a little off, but not much.
I don't think so. Yeah. Some of those numbers I've used.
Right. Okay. This is somebody else was printing, so I couldn't get it printed off the time I come in here. But.
So.
I don't know that there is a lot out of there, CIP.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
Is what I'm looking at. For the, what we turned into a renewable cabin or a cabin study,
mm-hmm.
for conservation, we put $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
General fund, I'm just looking at my
right.
penciled in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think because we've asked them to slow down on something, that we need to continue with that. I see no general fund. We have no general fund in Heart of Iowa Phase 2.
Correct.
We do have general fund in the Slater Trail, which mm-hmm. might be reduced if there were some applications, but we can't count on that. So
right.
I don't think we cut that and say go apply for yet more grants.
Right, and CERPA, just related, I think that was maybe CERPA money they were trying to get through, and I'm aware of that there's already applications in. Beyond, I mean, you know, it's not coming from conservation, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So we got road resurfacing at Hickory. I don't know that.
That particular part of that project, as we discussed that, this is where all the heavy trucks have been in for all of
right,
the roads are really bad, and this is where when they reopen the beach, this is the same section. I mean, this is the really heavily traveled
right,
part of
right. They cut it off because of all the construction
right.
they've been doing.
Better instead not to do a toilet, quite frankly. I mean, I hate to do that to people.
What?
Like the Wes Peterson, the vault toilet.
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Thanks. Okay.
The land acquisition, I don't think we want to take money out of that. Sewer, we need to hold on to figure out where we're going with COLO, I'd say.
The sewer's all out of the conservation reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reserve, okay. General fund for HVAC replacement, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Countywide space needs study, we need to keep that, I'd say.
Yeah.
Generator, if we can get a generator, if we can get one of those grants, we've got to match that.
Right.
Attorney remodel, we already replaced that in 22. IT.
She needs that every 3 years.
That,
yeah, I mean, that was our
rural fund, secondary roads fund, general mm-hmm. fund, and bonded for StoryCom.
Yeah. So there really is
so there's
like
nothing.
That,
there's really nothing there.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've already moved a lot. I don't think we
canceled that at this point.
So does that leave us in January then? Take a look and try and do it. Look at funding in the second half. I think my thought on that, answering my own question though, is the winter is especially a tough time for people who are faced with this situation of trying to save themselves from getting evicted and just having to move around the various agencies, the help or whatever. So from the standpoint of alleviating problems for our constituents, waiting until January doesn't help a lot.
Does anybody disagree with me that, or does anybody think there maybe is some money somewhere in operating? We should ask people to cut further. We asked 145, was it, from the sheriff?
The sheriff.
You got that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got that email.
And
I
think that got us down right to what the re-estimated was this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, that's good.
What's the point of asking for more? A half-time position or funding for half a year, either one, is not going to bump your fund balance enough to matter.
Okay.
Or it's not going to affect your fund balance enough to matter.
Okay.
Is what I'm
saying. All right.
If we're on the path of doing 95%, budgeting 95%,
mm-hmm.
anyway, we're only going to fund what actually happens. I mean, I guess I'm not following why we're thinking about cutting something out.
That's good.
Why we need to have the rest of the conversation.
Can't see forest with trees sometimes.
You're right.
So what you're saying?
I mean, I think what I need to know from you is where do you want that levy rate to fall?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want me to go ahead with the 95% and see what that looks like, and then make that give you those dollars after you're done,
mm-hmm.
either leaving those positions in or not leaving those positions in. And keep in mind that at this point in time, we're talking about the dollar amount for those positions
right.
that we are assuming. We are not talking about they have been approved.
That's
you see
right.
what I'm
That's
saying?
That one. Right. Okay.
So, I guess my question, $200,000 to affect the ending fund balance in the general fund.
By 1%.
Yeah, so just for the sake of kind of conversation, could we get another sheet like this, but just adding in whether it be a half-time or a full-time position, and we'd be looking more at apples, I guess you'd say.
And I will also then pull out my history information and find out exactly what the difference would be for a taxpayer. On levy rate,
right.
so that you can compare the taxes last year versus the tax years this year, so you can have a conversation about that if you need to.
Okay.
That I should have given you that to here today, but I didn't have enough I didn't have enough guidance to know which levy rate you want to go with.
Sure. Sure.
So if we have a housing coordinator. And we talked earlier about the general supplemental rate at the dollar,
mm-hmm.
as opposed
Correct.
To the 98.
Huh? Correct.
As so it is on number two,
capacity.
To get a little more capacity there
mm-hmm.
in thinking about benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And
keeping the rural services at the 3.23923. The salaries budget is a 95, yeah.
Keeping the rural services at the
3.23. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think, but having added back in, you said the half time, right?
Mm-hmm.
part-time?
I said she could provide, if she could provide us a sheet of a half-time or a full-time. Just it just gives us something to just look at
right.
and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, just both of them, because then you're like, okay, what is the difference? I get there's added cost for salary and benefits mm-hmm. and stuff, but...
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think the half-time puts it to the test, is can we really get this done?
I think
you need to have a conversation with Carla where she wants the extra half-time, because I don't know if you can get a half-time half-time.
See, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I think that position will be full-time, and then you could possibly do two half-time. I mean, she needs two people in the front office.
Right.
She was very clear about that yesterday. So, and that to make it work. They have enough traffic to do everything.
Oh, they do. Every time I'm there, they're busy.
They have two and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, yeah, no, I'm
agree.
They need
the mornings and two in the afternoon. So, I mean...
So, what are you saying? Say it again.
Yeah.
So, if the board's only willing to do a half-time position, it would be an addition. They would take... They could, and I'm speaking not Carla and Aaron, they could take the fill the housing coordinator position and have the extra half-time. So they'd have two half-times and a full-time half too. So they'd have two FTEs up front. Now, understand, they took on...
I think you've confused.
Have I
confused? Oh, well, I'm really lost.
I'm just looking at everybody's face here.
Am I not relaying it correctly?
Let me try.
Okay.
You're saying there are two full-time and one half-time administrative assistant right now. What you're saying is take the half-time administrative assistant up to full-time?
Could. I don't know. You might have to hire in another half-time to get it to that full-time hours.
Oh.
It might have to be two people to fill a one FTE.
Two half-times.
And then transition the one FTE to the housing.
Oh, okay. I've got it.
I don't know if that would work.
She's saying you need to talk with Carla how you can...
You're talking about the current position, the current half-time person making that person?
No, I think what she's saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we're obviously very confused here.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you need to have that conversation if that current half-time person would take on additional to be a full-time. So that would be that other half-time. Or you'd be hiring another half-time person. So those two half-time people make that a one full-time position.
And we've done that before. It works great.
Okay.
Does that make more sense? So in other words, you're having two half-time positions.
Maybe it's because a half-time is an administrative assistant, and I was told that that person couldn't do any of this work.
They would internally promote. Upgrade, promote.
Okay, so you're saying this would work.
They could move some internal time.
An administrative assistant who is qualified to be a service coordinator wanted to do that.
One of the four.
Right. But they would be probably half-time general or assistant half-time.
Half-time admin and the other half-time housing coordinator. So I need to...
No.
When you guys are...
I'm totally confused.
I asked if they had two full-time administrative assistants, if that would cover their front office.
Okay.
They've got an extra, so they have two and a half right now.
You're saying they have an extra one half position for the front office.
Which they're utilizing, they're busy.
Yeah.
They do VA, they do everything.
So you're saying try to somehow move an existing employee who's qualified to be a service coordinator into a full-time service coordinator.
And backfill.
Gotcha.
So you said earlier that you wouldn't be comfortable having an admin assistant.
No, paying an admin assistant to do service for
you. Got it.
So this person would be reclassified.
Yeah. And once that person's reclassified, that person can't be half and half.
I would not.
All right, I'm just asking.
It was thinking way outside the box, and I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not even sure Carla and Aaron were comfortable with it, but
they expressed some discomfort with, half-time positions before, and then she talked about having two half-time positions before that didn't work out the best. But I think she's trying to provide the service.
Yeah,
right.
So let's do it. Can we say we'll cover a half-time position, and how it gets put together is depends on what they can do internally. And if they can't do it internally, try it with a half-time service coordinator and come back to us next year if it's not working.
Well, that's
I just don't see that we're going to get one FTE out of the conversation.
Right, but what I'm saying is, do you want to just say that, or do you want to wait till Lisa provides us what it would look like with those recalculated numbers in?
I'm pretty sure what she's saying is it's not going to change anything very much.
Not even a difference.
Not even a full FTE. And what I hear is you don't know if there's enough work for
right.
Because my service coordinator, but they would actually be losing at halftime admin, if that makes sense. If they wouldn't.
Yeah, and then we would say we might be paying too much for some of the work that person ends up doing. I understand that. But in a small office, that happens a lot.
So my recommendation for MPQs again would be to schedule a time with Carla and have the conversation and maybe have Lisa put the figures in just to see what it looks
like. Yeah, I will put the figures in. What I'm saying is this is a general fund. This is something that's going to be in the general fund, and the amount of money we're talking about a half time or half of the year, whichever way you want to look at it, is less than $25,000. So it's not a blip on the ending fund balance.
Well, I think
overall,
I think it's a good thing that we're spending a lot of time on it because we are going to be increasing 3.5 FTEs, and that's not usual, is it?
No. 3.5 positions.
Okay.
Well, only because that last one, we're not sure if it's an FTE or not.
Yeah.
Sure.
Victim services, was that a full-time?
Yeah.
Three-quarter.
It was a
full three-quarter.
Three-quarter
gets full-time.
Okay. Yeah.
So the only difference in a three-quarter is the salary from,
right.
from 80 hours to 60 hours.
Right.
Or whatever.
Gotcha.
2 hours, whatever.
All right, so we're back to asking Lisa for the figures such that little change they would be. But we're not willing to go the full time. That's what I'm hearing. Linda, you're pretty set on the half time.
I just don't think it's 40 hours. I don't know. It's a significant increase in the small office.
Yeah, they do get 1,000. I keep on thinking about how many people they get passed through in a year, though, because we know they turn down 1,000 a year, and we fund a couple hundred of them, and we're first step on what has to happen. The reason they're coming to us first, even if they know it's a no in their minds, or they know they make too much income, is because they've got to have our no to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And that's with multiple touches with some of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, breaking it down per now, they're seeing 20 people a week by math, good. 2 weeks vacation in the first year, so 50,000 divided by 50, right? So they're seeing 20 people minimum per week. Some of them may be repeats. Hour for each interaction, for the primary interaction. Maybe another hour for the computer stuff. Maybe we are underestimating your
really
position.
I really try to get some statistical stuff. It is so difficult. Now, with the increased contact time, they'll fill up these things.
I would think, just because you don't, somebody who comes in could be quite comprehensive. You could have somebody who's on the verge or of losing housing and needing assistance to someone who has no housing.
And that's when you go through the whole job description, that's what it talks about. It talks about creating liaison relationships, et cetera, and working with them. I mean,
well,
I think we've got multiple people on multiple levels doing that already.
You kind of need that liaison. From what the position is said, you need that liaison to be able to talk with Good Neighbor or ERP or whomever to have that to make sure that they, a system only works as well as they are also looking into the system as well or upload. Or if they, I don't know if they were able to upload any of their information, but if they're not checking it there too, it's not going to help
the person who's seeking assistance. They're going to still end up going place to place to place or filling something
and
out.
And it's not just that initial contact. It's follow-up calls.
Right.
Calling the other agencies. I mean, it, while we say, okay, it could increase that contact time by 30 to 45 minutes, there's additional stuff that that position. So
it's coordinating services.
We sat there and really tried to get some statistical stuff.
Sure.
It's really hard at this point to do that and figure that out until they have some, get it up and running and see how it goes.
I know, with
any new position, I mean. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounded like there's no slack in the office right now. And that's, of course, if everybody's healthy, mm-hmm. if nobody's taking vacation, if everybody is always mm-hmm. there, and then you add an additional service, you know.
Right.
And, you know, that can take up some extra time that we had not anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have 5 positions requested. These 4 we talked about today and the watershed coordinator.
We had 9 originally.
Right.
We had 9.
Oh,
multiple deputies.
7, 8, 9. Yes, we did. We had 9.
Okay. Which is the most I've ever seen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we are funding, I'm going to say 3.5 out of 9.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more than usually do get funded. Conservation's not happy, I don't think.
Yeah,
I'm talking to Mike. They got told no, we don't want to go to Dakin's cabin now. We need more idea what you're doing here. And they got denied the watershed coordinator position. So
I think that's probably good for the conversation about they are big thinkers. I mean, they dream and they really are envisioning. They are always striving for the top of quality, okay, and expansion. And I don't know that we can always going to be able to accommodate them. So I understand they're not happy, and I think that has to do, Linda, I'm glad you're their liaison. You're sitting on the ex officio on there, because throwing in some reality once in a while about where the capacity is for us to do, to support those types of goals. I know for me, I probably a different discussion on conservation.
And with the housing coordinator, was it that funding was approved, but the position wasn't approved?
They never
Carla elaborated a little bit. It was the software. They got. I mean, they could have come to the board and done it all pen and paper, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. It would have been really inefficient. So until they had that software piece,
mm-hmm.
that's what they were waiting for, and it was beyond Carla's control. They've had some situations where they weren't able to get that software needed and stuff.
And
so
I am only since sitting here been convinced it should be with us. Mm-hmm. I think I was pretty vocal along about, are you sure we just don't want to fund it at some other agency? Now I feel comfortable that this is the most logical place about where we should be. Oh, yeah, I was very adamant.
You talked about it at the conversations. I remember that as
so,
well.
Yeah.
I think part of it, too, what Carla talked about was the software,
mm-hmm.
that it wouldn't be transferable to, it would cost another agency so much to build up the type of software that she was going to be able to get through ITAC. Plus the other agencies, where did they get their funding? I mean,
What changed my mind on this is that the more we talked about it in relationship to the other agencies and what services they were delivering and what we delivered from people coming to us anyway, and I'm back to how many people, you know, have to come to get the first denial. We have experts, they're long-term experts. There's a lot of turnover at some of the other agencies out there. and whatever. So I decided that this actually was a service that had been talked about for years. Nobody had been able to pull it together. And one of the consistencies in all the years that I've been going to various housing coalition meetings, there's always been at least one person from Story County Community Services and or VA or both there. Okay, that's what changed my mind through the whole discussion and the whole thing. So, yeah.
So let me just go back to that, Linda. So you are not, if you're still only approving three new positions in this budget because
this one's already
considered. It's not in your funding right here. But I would not call it a new position this year because it was a new position last year.
Gotcha.
Yes. Gotcha. Okay. That's why I asked the question of it being funded, but right, it hadn't gone to the salary.
That was fairly new just for those that aren't here. They used to approve all the positions in the work session, but then we started making it official. I mean, have the official approval in a Tuesday morning board meeting to authorize those positions. It's just a little additional step we've been
breaking.
The last
clarity. So going back to the issue of our funding formula, this position and us putting this position in and funding it will help better utilize the monies that are coming from the other areas, the other agencies, churches, whatever. So maybe we can keep where we are on our funding formula and not look at increasing it because our part here is getting this coordination and better use of all of the pool funds, so to speak.
Are we talking about per asset?
No. Number formula. What you asked Carlin Greg to put together.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, sorry. Okay, So it would be the alternate to that. I think there may be occasionally people then from a funding standpoint who could use all the funding, us 1 month and then going to the other agencies. But I think overall, when you take that whole pot of money that's dedicated toward giving people rent and utility assistance, which is where I think you're headed here, the whole pot, everybody, good neighbor, everybody out there, yeah. Okay? Yes, I think we might be providing the best overall because it will help them use their assets better also. And they do operate partially on volunteers, you know, too. But yes, I think the answer is
yes.
We can
keep with what we have now rather than changing that formula.
So I guess I'm confused. So on the formula, are you still thinking of doing the, keeping what we set out here, going from the 98 to the 1?
No,
we're not talking
about
that. What I asked Carla and Brett to do is look at if we had increased 2% per year income
minimum or
maximum, and the 2% per year about what we paid out cash. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Probably so. Yeah. I think where you're headed is am I more comfortable leaving everything the same and not giving out increased payments or looking at that?
Because we're helping people get to other
agencies.
More efficiently,
yes.
Help people get to other agencies and other pots of money, and we're doing that at county expense.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel more comfortable that that's probably a better impact overall.
Great. Okay. Then I'm comfortable with the
so then Carl and Brett though they could stop.
Because I don't think you're going to
work
there
40 hours
in a
40-hour
position.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
have to answer.
It was
full time last year.
And I offered.
You know,
now brought that other suggestion.
Yeah. So this is just we were just talking about the housing coordinator from last year. The funding was in, as Elizabeth said, was for full time.
Correct.
They
weren't doing any half time. The funding was in for full time, and
so I mean it's up to the board how you want to move forward with that. If you want to look at it as a full time, and I mean, that's ultimately what community services.
The needs are so great out there. When I just think of the whole housing situation, okay? And what the coalition is trying to do with all of their other jobs, now that Linda's taken me down this path, okay, about what are we really doing to enhance everybody's effectiveness of applying services and using the money where it can do the most good, right? So this person also, per the job description that exists now, can do some advocacy work with landlords that there's never enough time to do. That I hear Carrie McPartland from Salvation Army and ERP talking and YSS are constantly out there and that type of stuff. So I believe there would be, if you expand into the rest of that job description, I believe this person will stay busy for a full-time job.
You're adding duties right now.
No, read the job description. These are all in there. All we talk about is the intake.
Right.
It is part of it. I mean,
well, there's other pieces on it.
There are other pieces on it.
It would enhance their capacity overall, but would it hurt to just look at the part-time versus full-time and compare the numbers? Because you still haven't made a decision on what you want to do.
Although I'm more and more thinking, I think that, as I think about the needs out there, okay, and think about what could we do, Story County, to help address this for a population, and we're not just talking affordable housing here, we're talking low income, right? We're talking about assistance here. And I think about all of the discussions I've sat through for years, and this person being paid especially to focus on this area does alleviate the frontline service providers from, and to allow them to do more of what they're doing and less of having to go find time to do this advocacy or this connecting beyond just picking up the phone to call about getting someone, assistance, but helping to coordinate on that.
You're for full-time now.
I'm for full-time now.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, because I do look at the position that she had provided, the original and the additional information that she did. That was why I asked the question, was it funded last year, and at what capacity was it funded?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure I understood that question, since I wasn't here.
So are we just going to cut through and say full-time?
I'm good with that. I understand I think it's going to be filled. I think that there will be plenty of capacity for this person to make impact that will be good for all the citizens. Yeah, I do. And help.
Yeah, I mean, I could go with the part-time on there. I guess I would want to, and I know that Alyssa and you and Sandra talked with Carla, kind of you're thinking of outside the box,
mm-hmm.
how that would look, and if she would even be, if that would even be something that was doable, or is that like just so far out of the box to be able to do anything? I also know if whoever they would get in, whether it's part-time or full-time, whether it's promoting up someone internal or bringing someone new in, is they're going to have to make some connections right away, and they're going to have to spend a heck of a lot of time inputting data. That's what I think is going to take the majority of that time, is inputting that data and then helping with those other agencies who could have access to a portion of that information.
Full time.
Go ahead. So, do you want me to make a motion to approve a housing?
If we're just in agreement.
We'll just do consensus.
Okay. Okay, and so what I'm hearing is put the funding for that back in, 95% for salaries,
mm-hmm.
Increase the supplemental up to $1.
Mm-hmm.
See how that's going to look?
Yes.
How are you feeling, and are you okay with the remaining or leaving 22 rural positions in and moving a detective to the general fund?
Yes.
I think that sounds good. Yeah.
Is there anything else in there that we need to talk about?
One additional
patrol vehicle from Moss, okay.
Yeah, so I did put that additional patrol vehicle. So his estimate was 75,000. So I put 50,000 in for the vehicle and 25,000 in the jet out of loss. 50,000 out of loss, which leaves you 5,500. As of budget time, we won't know the real amount until we know what our actual local option sales tax is going to be. And then that the other 25 I put in the general fund to because that's where we're paying for all the equipment for the vehicles.
Is there anything else from any of the other sheets that we should consider?
Pretty much the same up at the top.
It's pretty much the same. The big things are the detective, that position for, or that moving that one, and whether we want to do 95% and what you want your ending fund balances to be.
Will you provide us with a new sheet after target?
I'll be there.
I appreciate that.
Certainly.
What else do we need to do today?
I just have one question. I did have one office reach out and ask if there had been any decisions on staffing, and I said no. I said there was another meeting today, and they were looking at options with certain positions included. So they were just curious when they would get any communication back. But the attorney's office, Julie. They can listen to the recordings, but I just said the board has, for budgeting purposes and looking at the numbers, the victim witness coordinator was included. But they're having a discussion. Nothing's been approved. Nothing's been decided. So she just was just curious, you know, how is that going to get communicated? I said somebody will communicate back with them. Once the board officially makes a decision what to fund, what not to fund, there, whether it's the chair or if you want me to reach out, I mean, there will be some, I guarantee there would be some communication.
Okay, so
I haven't heard from the sheriff.
What you're saying is basically that this isn't going to change the ending fund balances enough, even with the...
No, it's going to be slight. I mean, obviously, we have the other thing is the general fund is going to have to increase a little bit more, too, because of the additional... If you have additional deputies, then there's $43,000 worth of costs that he has mm-hmm. listed.
Your numbers yet?
Not in these numbers. But as I said, it wouldn't change the ending fund balance substantially at all.
Okay.
So by the time we combine all these things, we'll see where it comes out at. I'm going to assume it's still going to be in the 26%-ish. The other thing, you know, we didn't talk about this at all, but the other thing we can certainly do, if you're going to raise the... if you're going to put another dollar, or if you're going to put a dollar on the supplemental, you can also decrease what you're transferring from the general fund and free up some more general fund dollars. So we don't have to transfer the $500,000. We could transfer $400,000. That transfer recently, in the last couple of years, has been to help us build up that insurance fund. We're looking okay. We got 600 in the current budget, and if we only transfer 400,000, that puts that $1 million put toward it in the last 2 years. So that's an option too.
Okay. Hopefully that just what we stabilize.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping, right?
Okay. Right.
So what's the pro or con to lowering that amount in the general basic?
Lowering it in the general basic.
Is that what you're just saying? Is lowering what you're transferring from the general basic to the general supplemental?
From the supplemental from the general. So it gives you more money in the general fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're not transferring it to the supplemental fund where it has to stay.
Okay. If you're getting more.
What
if
you're transferring a little less than that?
Less than 500,000?
Less than 400,000.
Less than 400,000? What are you thinking? What do you want me to put it in at?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we can amend it. We can do a budget amendment later.
Not for the transfer. Yes, you can.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you can.
Well, and you might. We'll know more.
You can only levy once. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can transfer.
But you can do it by you can transfer by resolution. So we can say, we can put the budget together as up to 500,000 and then only decide to transfer 300,000. Or we can put the budget together at 300,000 and say, well, we have a little extra money, let's move more.
Why don't we set it at 300,000 if we can always transfer more?
That's fine. It's a budget amendment. It's a resolution of the board what you transfer.
Okay.
So.
But.
So you want me to go 300,000?
How about 300,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give us a little flexibility.
Yep.
Listen to Laura.
Okay, so 95%.
We can't transfer.
Yeah, correct.
Just hanging out there.
And basically, the budget that we're working with now, the 20 budget, has 600,000. I haven't transferred any of it at this point in time because my thought process is I'm going to see where we're looking at in the supplemental fund, and we may not need to transfer that whole 600,000 in the current year.
We could say we're going to transfer 2 million and we wouldn't have to transfer a penny of it.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have to raise the levy to do that.
Well, you somebody noticed. But what I'm saying is, just because we said we're going to transfer it doesn't mean we do it.
Right.
But once
so,
we do it, we can't undo it.
Right.
And what she's saying is,
no.
Does not change the levy rate. We're not reducing the levy.
No.
Yes, we don't want to reduce the levy.
Correct.
Well.
Correct. We got it.
Okay, and leave the rural at $3.23.
So what's the rationale, what you have to publish now that Department of Management says you have to publish if we exceed 2% on our levy. What on this is going to go on there? The general basic, right?
Okay, it'll be the basic and the supplemental dollars. Here.
No, here.
Yeah,
I'll show you. Supplemental will now go up.
You want to look at it?
I
went out and printed a dummy one.
Did you?
Because I'm a dummy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the brightest people I know.
Okay, so here's what it's going to do. It's going to say current certified property taxes, and it has the dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to say budget effective year for the new year, so it's going to have
the
dollars we're asking for in the 21 budget.
Mm-hmm. So
then
basic.
It's going to be $3.87 or $3.07. It's going to be a little bit more than the 3.6, I think.
Okay, the general basic is going to go up, not because of...
Well, it automatically goes up tax time. So that tax asking is $600,000 higher than that tax asking just because valuations went up.
Yes, but doesn't that... But that's 3.9%, so it seems 2%. So it's not showing, it's not on this form? Oh, that's basic. I forgot supplemental.
Okay. Department of Management considers the general supplemental and the general basic one pot of money.
They do?
Yes.
Oh.
They're interchangeable.
Oh, okay.
They're not, but they consider it that way when they publish
anything.
Okay. That's why both are listed for publication.
Correct.
Okay.
And you have to keep that just... You have to keep that general levy at 3.5, correct?
It's
a levy supplemental.
Right.
Okay. So that's a combination.
I don't know if you were aware of that. That's why that one's always at 3.5.
Okay. So then the rural.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are glad you're here, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So by taking, okay.
That is really different, though, with the 2%, because honestly, your levies could go way down and your valuations go way up and you're still over that
2%.
Yes.
But I suppose they're thinking you could decrease your levies even more.
No, actually, I
would
say more of the conversation was... The conversation was that... Folks wanted to make sure people understood what they were paying for taxes.
Okay.
And so they basically wanted to have another hearing so that they...
It's just that extra thing
was that their main thing they wanted to go at. There was a lot of conversation from my colleagues who talked about, well, I don't know that that's going to change anything by having another...
One more hearing?
One more hearing.
I think it confuses it even more.
Well, I do think it kind of muddies things for people.
That's why I wanted you guys to think about this, because you're going to have to answer, if we're going to do it this way, you're going to have to answer to why are you going up 3% and why are you going up 9%.
Right.
You are not. Or any of that stuff, what you're going up in is tax asking, and that's the big thing that they are focused on is how much tax asking there are. But as you can see, the tax asking are based on the values, and as the values go up, the values go up.
And our values went up 2%.
We did not take any rates up.
No.
We took supplemental down.
Right.
That mental health is going up, but that's not within our control.
Right.
And it needs to go up.
That's not even one that they're looking at. The only two rates that are going to get published are going to be the general supplemental and the rural. The rest of them don't get it. So, but the other thing I want you to keep in mind is, that the tax asking are going up.
The tax asking are going up, and it's due to the valuations and the rollbacks, which change from year to year.
Yeah, and I will, because I think our next scheduled time is February 5th, so at that point in time, I will bring to you what that actually looks like, what this actually looks like. Bigger. Hopefully I'll blow it up, because this is what's printed off the department manager sheet. I will give you fund balance and ending fund balance with all that information. I will also do a comparison of what the rollback was last year, what the rollback is this year, what the actual on a property in Story County looks like for the county's asking. And you guys know that the county gets $8.26 per thousand. The cities, the
school districts,
the county assessor, the all the different entities get money too.
We just collect it all.
We just collect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always fun to tell people. We don't get the majority of your property taxes.
Right, and that
and you have to write to check to us, so you think so.
That's probably what maybe frustrates me the most on this new legislation for this one is again 50-some% goes to the schools, but the cities and the counties are the ones that
have to do
this additional information, which is fine. I mean, I have no problem with getting information out to people.
There's this little block on the form that you have to explain why we exceeded 2%.
Yeah.
You going to write that, or?
We'll talk about that on February 5th.
How many characters?
I don't even know. I have to look and see how many characters.
I'm good at it. It's because we're 50 characters left, even though I don't sleep.
It's common sense to me, but whatever.
Sorry, I have a 4:30. But
I hope that I'm not going to make
it. But it won't be good to buy a drink.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, question. Are we ready to tell everybody what we are not funding on positions, or do we want to wait till one more time? And if so, there people are waiting till February 5th. I think we have it.
I think we do, too.
I think you say no official decision.
No official decision, but here's what we're looking at.
Yeah, numbers that are coming back. Okay. And I did respond to Julie, and I just said, I don't even know if it's even today. I just, there's so little these numbers, trying to figure things out. I didn't make any promises.
Okay, I'll call.
But I think just some prior communication.
Sure.
Because, you know, they came and presented.
Well, the minute you get the communication, however, they're all going to say, well, can we do it early?
They'll say what?
Can we do it early?
No.
No.
I'm just
don't
saying.
Push it. Don't push it.
Yeah.
Won't they?
No.
Yeah.
You're counting on an empty balance.
I'm just saying.
What ends with it?
I don't think you. This is not my first rodeo. This is what's going to happen.
The auditor won't. I'll be honest. It's going to take me a little bit of time. Bargaining. I've got to
The deputy and the victim witness coordinator.
The deputies are going to get bargaining.
So they could push for that one.
But you don't have to. You can say, no, it's July 1. It's a
50-year,
21 budget.
I know some are commenting on it early. We've also had conservation positions. They say no, and they did not fill that position until January 2nd. Or July 2nd, sorry.
I think when you call them, you tell them it's a fiscal year 21.